love espresso, drip coffee, and cold brew? With the Ninja Luxe Cafe, if you can crave it, you can brew it. Espresso? Balanced. Drip coffee? Rich. Cold brew? In a flash. With Barista Assist technology, you brew with no stress and no guesswork. And make perfect silky microfoam hands-free from dairy or plant-based milks. Bring the coffee house home and unlock your favorites with the Ninja Luxe Cafe.
Welcome to the American High Podcast. Mika, this is so great to have you on. As you could tell, we've been doing this for many, many years, and we are we're great at it. It's phenomenal. And we're having fun. A big point of this podcast is talking about high school and the high school years and firsts. And that's really why we got into this business in the first place, is because we loved movies that are about high school. And as you know, and you've experienced here on the movie Sex Appeal, we usually have lots of interns, and we've had a lot of interns doing research and preparing all of our research. So, and we have to say everything that's written, no matter what. And we haven't actually no matter what it is. So like sometimes there's a funny intern in there who like tries to sneak things in. Maybe it happened, maybe it didn't. But on this particular day, we're just going to start with it.
All right.
You are 24 years old. Is that correct?
That is correct.
Okay. And
this feels like a lie detector test.
Yes. We're going to buzz you. Okay. So if you lie, we're going to start. Tristan is going to buzz you through the headset. You ready? Okay. So it says here that you were born in Waco, Texas.
False.
Okay, that is true. You were born in Plano, Texas.
That is true.
No, it's true that that is false, but you were born in Plano, Texas. And it says here that you were born in Plano, Texas. I was giving you the false thing.
Nice. Oh, got it. Getting like the testing.
Correct. So you could choose you could actually choose if it's real or if it's false, right? So you could actually choose to lie. And if you choose to lie, then you get buzzed. Does that sound good?
Yeah.
Or we could have Will and Excel get buzzed if they guess if it's true or not. Let's do that.
Okay.
You are currently dating someone from an American High movie.
True.
Why don't you tell us who is this mystery man that you're dating?
Oh, the lovely Jake Short.
Just tell us about that. How did you meet Jake? Tell us your point of view of what happened.
So I think I met him before the movie. Like, I have to have met him, but I don't remember that. I just know that we were like in the same friend group, so it's like almost impossible that we didn't meet. But I like met Jake on set, like when we both first got to Syracuse.
Was it COVID time?
It was COVID time.
Did we do a virtual chem read?
Yeah, we did a chem read over Zoom. So I guess technically I met him then, but it was very different. And I remember he was like in Mammoth or something when we did our chem read, like snowboarding. I was like tweaking out, getting my setup perfect and like freaking out in my childhood bedroom, like trying to make everything just so. And he was like propped up against a windowsill, like, can you see me?
Just like your characters.
Yeah. I was like, wait, well, like literally, what are you doing?
That's amazing.
Yeah.
Mika, does Jake know that you texted us and emailed us that we should go with the other guy you chem tested against?
Yeah, it's unfortunate. I did have to break that news to him. I did have to tell him eventually that I hated him and everything about him. But
so that other guy was Joey Bragg, who is also one of our podcast guys. I'm kidding. That's a joke.
Yeah.
Mika, it says here you were on Barney and Friends in 2008.
They do Barney in Las Colinas, Texas, and like just outside of Dallas. I don't know if you're familiar with Las Colinas, but it's like a big industrial area of Dallas, and that's where they do Barney. Like all the Dallas like Selena and Demi did Barney.
Really?
Because that's like what all the Dallas kids do.
Like, how'd you get into it?
I got into acting when I was like six. My mom, I'm an only child, and I was very shy. And so my mom was like, I literally can't handle this anymore. You have to like go talk to people. And for whatever reason, she was like, you're going to be an actor. And so that's what I did. And I don't know. She found it like, I don't know if it was like through acting classes or something, but like they did a lot of open calls for like extras on Barney. And that's kind of how everyone did it. You would go just be an extra and just like be a kid playing in the park. And then they would like you. And then you would be an actual speaking character.
Did you watch Barney before?
I don't know. I don't think so. Part of me almost feels like I was like aged out of Barney at that point. Like I feel like, I don't know, maybe. I was a big Dora the Explorer kid. So
got it.
That was my like what I was really into. And Blue's Clues.
How long does it take? Like how old were you when you were doing the background work on Barney? And then how many times did you have to do that before they're like, okay, let's upgrade Mika?
I would say I did Barney for probably like 2 or 3 years. Like I was doing Barney a lot.
Wow.
So I don't know. It was just kind of like the thing.
Were you excited or were you fulfilling mom's request?
I was definitely fulfilling her request at first. And then I enjoyed it. I feel like when you're a kid, so much of acting is just like, try to just play and like pretend you're not acting, like pretend the cameras aren't here. So it made it really fun because there's nothing challenging going on. You're literally just playing and like that's your whole day and you're skipping school, I think is a big selling point for the child actor.
So talking about skipping school, did you have to do some version of school when you were doing like, on the set of Barney?
It's kind of weird. I don't remember how all the rules work or whatever, but like there was like a school room and we'd all have to go and like do something educational. We didn't necessarily have to like do school work, like math worksheets or anything, but they, I don't know, like those onset tutors, I feel like are always just trying to like find a way to keep you engaged. And like, you'll play games that are like educational games. And
well, isn't Barney in and of itself an educational program?
That's what I was going to say, is totally. If you shot an educational thing, you'd never have to break for school. You could just, it's like a way to game the system.
Just be on there. Yeah, totally.
And did you get to meet Barney?
Of course, I hugged Barney. In the episode, so I hugged him.
Is Barney the same person all the time?
I don't know. I don't know anything. I actually don't. And I remember them specifically, like they wouldn't, because there's also the little dinosaurs, you know, like there's Barney and then there's like the smaller dinosaurs and none of them would take their heads off.
Ever.
Yeah. They didn't take, well, they would like take their heads off privately, but like, I think there was a whole thing about like.
Like when they went home to their wives. Like, oh God, it's so hard. It's in my contract. I got to keep this thing on, honey. I'm sorry.
Yeah. No, I'm sure there was some sort of like child meltdown problem that they were avoiding.
So you never knew who was underneath the mask.
I never saw him. But this was also when I was doing Barney, was the peak like elementary school rumors about Barney. You know when they were just like kids were doing weird, kids were doing weird things, making up like stories about Barney going to prison or like some, I don't know, like kids would do things like that.
Yes. It was always the guy from Blue's Clues.
There was something weird with Barney, I remember, but also like I remember like hearing some chatter, but then I'm like, oh wait, maybe that was Elmo.
Yeah, I don't know. I just remember it was like the thing.
Was your mom with you on set all the time?
Yeah, literally all the time.
And are your parents together?
Yeah, my dad just has like a job, like a human job.
Let me ask you a question. Did you ever see your dad and Barney in the same room at the same time? Just saying.
That's true. I never considered that.
That feels like a movie, like dressing up like a dad just not wanting his daughter to be in an actress and then ends up like pretending to be Barney in the thing so that he could watch his daughter. Just to, like, make sure his daughter is fine.
But anyways, so you did Barney and then did you go to high school in Plano? Did you go to high school in Dallas?
Kind of. I went to a high school that was like K through 12, very small private school. I had like 9 kids in my class and we went 4 days a week for 3 hours a day.
What?
Whoa. 9 kids in your class?
Yeah, literally, like my graduation ceremony was like 12 kids, maybe 15.
Was this in Plano?
Yeah, it was in Plano. It's called Spring Creek Academy. And there's a lot of gymnasts in Plano because Woga is like where Nastia Lukin came from and Carly Patterson. So it's a big like gymnastics sit town. And so.
What is Woga? Sorry, I gotta ask what Woga is.
Woga is like a gym. Like it's a big gymnastics training gym. Like before Simone Biles' gym, it was like the gym.
Got it.
Like the gymnastics gym. And it's in Plano. And so I think they started the school to like kind of accommodate the gymnasts or something, because you could either go in the morning or the afternoon. So like I went 8:30 in the morning to 11:30 in the morning, and then there was like a 2-hour break. And then kids would come at like 1 and then stay till 3. So all the gymnasts would go to the gym first thing in the morning, train for like 5 hours, and then come to school.
Were you a gymnast?
No, I just did it for acting, because I booked a movie, an American Girl doll movie, when I was 11. And my mom had to pull me out of the 7th grade. And we were getting letters all the time about me missing school, and they were trying to take the state was trying to take my mom to court because I was missing so much school for work. Yeah, it's like, I don't remember what it's called, but like if your kid misses more than 20 days of school in a year, it's like, without a doctor's note, it's like a legal thing. So she was like, this cannot be. And I went to Spring Creek.
So were you in a regular school and then you shifted after like she's missing too much?
Until I was in 7th grade, I went to public school, like public elementary, public middle school, massive schools. And then the high school that I should have gone to has a graduating class of like 5,000 or something. Like it's huge. But yeah, so then she pulled me out. I tried to do homeschooling for a second, literally couldn't handle it. And then we found this place. And it was great. It feels like I scammed my way into like a diploma.
Did you ever get confused? Did anyone like with scheduling and they like forced you to do the pommel horse or something?
No, but they did like force you to prove that you needed to go to this school.
So what did you do to prove that you needed to go to gymnast school?
I emailed my manager, or I had my manager write a letter saying that I like my schedule was so something. They just wanted to keep it so that like kids that didn't want to go to school went to that school.
So it's like super talented kids in general.
If you have to travel or train or whatever.
And then while you were traveling, you were like still being taught stuff?
Everything we did, which I'm sure this is just how school is now. We just didn't use iPads and laptops and stuff in public school at this time. So it was really, you know, advanced for this school to have iPads, and we did all of our work online and submitted everything online. And so I could just leave and be gone. Like I left and shot Project MC Squared for like 3 months in Canada and just kept doing school.
As I mentioned earlier before we were recording, my daughter watches Project MC Squared religiously, and I lay down with her and watch it with, and I enjoy watching you on that, and it's awesome, and it's also educational, right?
Yeah.
So it's lots of strong, fun female students who do science and who are extremely smart, and it's a great. You know, your character is a great role model for my daughter. And even though you weren't going to school at that time or legitimate school, you still were probably learning a ton on that show, correct?
Yeah, no, it was really, like in hindsight, it was a very, very cool show. We did all kinds of like science experiments and sciencey things all the time. And then we used to have, like, because we had dolls that were sold along with that show. But we also had like kits, like we had science experiment kits. And I don't remember what they all were, but there was definitely like a volcano one or some sort of like just lots of chemistry experiment kits that were sold. And it was really cute because we got to like unbox all of those and do all the experiments and like promote all of it. And it was just really, I don't know, all that stuff is so fun. And so fascinating, I think. So yeah, it was cute.
And did you have to like do what normal high school kids do in terms of like taking exams, SATs, all those sorts of things?
Yeah, we had tests. I just don't remember them being like proper midterms or finals or anything. Like, I don't remember ever being
high stakes.
Yeah, it was never really high stakes, and all of our teachers were really understanding if things were late or bad or whatever. They were really very chill about everything.
Well, because really you're going to school because you have to when you have a career, like when you know that what I want to do once I graduate school is become an actor, you're already the thing that you want to become once you graduate. So truthfully, you're really just fulfilling some sort of state rule obligation. So there's, you know, Excel just mentioned like there wasn't really anything at stake when you were taking exams, correct?
Yeah, not really. I mean, my father is an immigrant, and so education is very important to him. Checks out. And so I was always very important to me growing up. And so I always knew I wanted to go to college. I always really wanted to go to UCLA. And so that was the bit of it that was high stakes. But I'm very fortunate to be a really good test taker and a really good bullshitter. So I was really good at doing last minute essays and projects very well.
How was your dad? So like you mentioned, your dad's an immigrant. Was your mom an immigrant or your mom's from here?
No, she is the most American woman I know.
Where is she from? Is she from Texas?
She's from Jamestown, New York. If you know where that is, outside of Buffalo.
That's actually not so far from us.
No. Yeah, I know. When I was shooting, she was like, you got to go to Jamestown. That's where I was born.
First of all, is that how she speaks?
That's not how she speaks at all.
Oh, I was like, that's such a great, I was like, now I'm picturing your mom. I'm like, oh, interesting. That's a great impression. Can you do an impression of your mom?
You have to go to Jamestown. That's where I was born. That's where I'm from. Mika, you got to go. George, take her.
It sounds like your mom's maybe from Fargo.
No, it's the Fargo and Jamestown. The upstate New York, they kind of have a similar thing. You know, sort of has that similar thing.
Her dad's from Minnesota, so she has that. And then for whatever reason, she's only lived in Texas since she was like 17, 16. I don't know. But she has all kinds of like Texas Southern, like she says, oil, bowl, oil, boil.
Wheel.
Oh, God. I'm like, what does oil and bowl mean?
And she's still there.
Yeah, she's still in Texas. She's a very confusing person. But no, my dad's from Bulgaria, and he lived there until he was 9. And then he moved to Lebanon. And then he moved to Austria. And then he moved here when he moved to Amarillo, Texas, is where they were placed when he was like 13. And his parents were like, what is this?
So now he's 13 years old with his family in Amarillo. Your mom is in Jamestown, New York. And when do they meet? When and where?
Both moved to Mesquite, which is just outside of Dallas.
Mesquite has a great rodeo. Have you ever been to the Mesquite Rodeo?
I have been to the Mesquite Rodeo. How do you know anything about Mesquite?
I lived in Dallas, so I would go to the Mesquite Rodeo, and people in my school would come.
Wait, hold on. Will, were you Barney?
Yeah.
Yeah, were you Barney?
You've also never seen me and Barney together. I only lived there for 4 years, but I remember for some reason my family would go to the Mesquite Rodeo, like, 3 times a year.
Yeah, they do have Mesquite's out there. So they both moved there and went to high school together, and they met in high school.
Oh, look at that. There's a pretty awesome high school story, right? So did he know English and when he was in high, like by the time he was in high school? And
he had a heavy accent and a thick unibrow.
Heavy accent, and that's what she loved about
it. I see what your mom saw.
Yeah. No, he spoke English. He was, I'm sure, heavily bullied. But he and his older sister his sister's a year older than him, and my mom's a year younger than him. And so they all managed to be in the same kind of friend group, and they would go out and sneak into bars, and that was their thing. very on all their friends. Like they made all their friends in high school and they still hang out with their high school friends.
That's an incredible story. And did they feel like you were missing out on the high school experience?
Totally. That was the other part of my dad really wanting me to go to college, was that like because then he went to UT and they both went to University of North Texas, and then he went to UT for grad school, and they also had a great time in college, and a lot of their high school friends followed them there. And so he was like, you just haven't had any social experience. He was like, all of your friends are people that you like work with. Like, that's not normal for a 16-year-old. You have to go hang out with people your own age.
And that was when you were in high school, or that was like when he was pushing you to go to college?
High school. I mean, I graduated high school a year early too. So 15 to 17 is all I had.
Did you have like a first boyfriend in high school or first love?
So my best friend's older brother.
Classic.
What was your best friend's name? You could make up a name.
We'll call her Faith.
So Faith's older brother, his name was?
Alex.
So Faith's older brother, Alex, how much older was he?
I want to say like 2 years older than him.
Got it. So you were in high school.
Yeah, we were in high school. And I met her when I, like my first day of school at this new place in like seventh grade, eighth grade maybe. And she was great. He was dating someone. We'll call her Taylor.
And you're in the small school at this point.
And we're in the small school.
Okay.
Taylor does not go to this school. Taylor goes to a big public school, and they met in youth group.
Mm-hmm.
They fought all the time. She was evil. She hated me for no reason. I guess maybe for a reason, because I did end up dating her boyfriend. But at the time, I was like, I'm literally 13, like, and you're beefing with a 13-year-old, please. Years passed. I was then in early high school. I want to say like ninth grade, end of ninth grade. They had since split. Their parents owned a dance studio, and they had like a New Year's Eve party, whatever. And I was like, Faith, like your brother looks really cute tonight. And she was like, oh my God, like, don't do that. I was like, okay. And then we kissed.
Was she around?
We kissed in her bedroom. In her bedroom.
No.
The three of us went back to her. We went back to their house.
Wait, the three of you?
No, well,
she's gonna
not
go.
The three. The three of us go back to the house. We were hanging out. He was like, oh, I think I can like grab a bottle of like champagne or something from, you know, catering, whatever they had thrown this party. So we were all sitting in her little room drinking champagne, and she was like, okay, I have to pee.
And then as soon as she went to the bathroom, he went for it.
She went to pee. He said, I really want to kiss you right now, or something. Something that a 16-year-old boy says.
So that was the impression of, he sounded like your mom a little bit.
That's actually, they're very similar people. Yeah, they speak these, they sound exactly like, you can't tell them apart. He said something along the lines of wanting to kiss me. And I was like, no, I think Faith would be mad. And then she came back, went to pee again, and then he kissed me.
Did she know that it was go time?
I think at some point he was pulling the car around. We had been drinking, literally drinking people's empties the whole night. It was bad.
And
it was
then
like
he's
peak
like,
high school.
So
and
I'm
he was like
drinking all the empties. I think it's a good idea for me to go pull the car around. At this
he's
point.
Like, I'm going to go pull the car because it's, you know,
it's Texas.
So dumb. Standard. It's Texas. And pulls the car around, and we were standing in the lobby of the hotel. And I was like, would you be mad at me if I kissed your brother? And she was like, whatever. Just go for it.
She said, go for it.
It was kind of like, whatever. She was just like, that's not where my mind is at. I don't have the bandwidth for that right now. I also had a very big crush on this other boy that I'm sure she was sick of hearing about. And so maybe that's my other theory, is that maybe she just was like glad that we had moved past this other crush.
And were you afraid that like she's going to open the door and catch you?
No, I think at that point I was over it. At that point, it was fine. And then he slept on the floor. Like, she just, it was like, there was no.
So she didn't see it.
No, she didn't see it, but I think she could sense it. Like, I think she knew. There was no point of revelation. He slept on the floor of her room that night. Like, And then we like went on a date the next day. I don't know, like
Where did she sleep?
that her brother slept on the floor.
And where did you sleep?
I slept on the floor.
Oh, nice.
T, nothing happened. That was my first kiss. That was my first kiss ever.
And did you date after?
Yeah, we dated for like a year and a half.
Wow. And your relationship with Faith stayed the same?
Was she always like in the background when you guys were kissing? Was she always like, oh, there's my best friend and my brother?
Yeah, no, we stayed. That she was my best friend literally the whole time. I would like still go on vacations with their family and
Did her family know? Like, was it when you guys would go on
yeah.
vac? So, well, like, when you went on a vacation, were you like, okay, we're Faith and I are going to sleep in this room, and Alex is going to sleep over here by himself?
All of our parents knew, and I just, seriously, so their parents were pretty religious. It was really weird. Their parents, my parents are very cool and didn't care what like I did as long as I was safe. And so they didn't care. But his parents were very religious. So I think they liked it because he was nearing 18 and I think they wanted him to like get married and settle down, and they were really into him having a girlfriend. So very different reasons that they were chill with all this, but nonetheless.
Why did you guys break up?
I moved to LA and it wasn't the it was a good high school relationship. It was not the best relationship.
And so you're not friends anymore with Faith?
No, I haven't talked to her in years.
Was there a project that forced you to move to Los Angeles, or did you hit a point where you're like, I got to get out of this weird situation, and this is a really good excuse for me to change my life and kind of as I'm approaching college and all that jazz?
Well, I moved to go to UCLA.
I have a question. You moved to LA when you were 17. Did you move alone?
I moved. So I moved on campus. So it was kind of like a halfway situation. But yeah, I moved in with two other girls in a dorm, and that lasted maybe 6 months. And I was like, I gotta get out of here.
What did you study?
At the time, I was studying political science. And very quickly, I was like, I literally cannot handle this. All the guys in my class, so annoying. Like it was just way too much to handle, so I had to get out of there. Then after that, my mom was I just turned 18, and my mom was like, she can't live alone in Los Angeles, but I also didn't really have friends here yet, so I moved to an apartment off of Roscoe Mare in Bel-Air because it was like obviously very safe, but it was like right in the middle of Mulholland and Sunset, so the most impossible place to get to, nothing around it, very secluded. Very anti-college life.
Did you finish your BA?
Yeah, I was just saying, just right before you guys got on, I walked the stage, graduated literally this July, so
Wow,
2 months ago.
congratulations.
Thank you. I'm still taking one class because I didn't quite finish. But this class ends in 3 weeks, and then I'm
And
officially done.
why philosophy if you're already an actor and you know that that's what you want to do?
Yeah, why? It's a very philosophical question. Because I just wanted to get a degree just to get a degree. Back to like the dad thing. Like my grandma got a degree in computer sciences in Bulgaria in the, 50s. So it's education's been like a big thing in my family. My dad obviously went to 6, 7 years of college. I really enjoyed school, like high school. I really enjoyed learning. So it always made sense for me to go to college. And then once I got to college and I was like, this is real education and it's very different than the 8 hour a week high school that I've been going to. Then I was like, oh, I actually don't care about this at all. Really wanted to drop out, almost dropped out a million times. That's why it's taken me 7 years to graduate with a bachelor's degree. But throughout that time, I would take a semester off, a quarter off. I would take a couple classes during the summer sporadically, and I somehow just managed to sign up for a bunch of philosophy classes because I enjoyed them. I also felt like I was a better, it's so weird. I took a philosophy class my first quarter at UCLA, and I felt like a better person while I was taking it. Like I felt like I was thinking more critically about everything that I do and about how I react to things and like what matters and I don't know, kind of like a self, like a life motto. I don't know. But so I really liked it. So I ended up just kind of doing that. And then I got really good at writing philosophy papers. So then when I was like, okay, I have to graduate. And I looked at all of my, I looked at my transcripts and I had equal philosophy classes and art history classes. And I just thought about what those exams entail. And I don't know if you've taken an art history class, but it's hell. And you have to memorize all kinds of shit that no one should ever have to know. So I was like, philosophy.
Where did Project MC Squared shoot?
We did our first season in Chatsworth.
Perfect.
We were just there.
We were
just in Chatsworth.
Crazy. And I love that place.
MC Squared was when you were in high school, right?
Yeah, MC Squared was while I was in high school.
So what was your schedule like? How often would you be able to get back to your school in Texas? How often do you have to be in Chatsworth?
So the first season of MC Squared was in Chatsworth, and that was my freshman year. And we only shot that for like 2 months. Because it was originally supposed to be a movie that they split up into three parts to make it episodic. And then after that, we would do two seasons. We would shoot two seasons at a time over like 3 months in Vancouver. And so I'd be gone for like 8 weeks in Vancouver, come home for 2 weeks, and then be gone for 8 weeks again. And we did that 2 years in a row from, 2016, 2017, I think. And we only did those in the spring. So it would usually be like, I would miss the last couple of weeks of school, like the last maybe 2 months of school. And then we would finish shooting during the summer. Like it was always like spring, early summer shooting. So I'd have like a full first semester and then the first half of the second semester.
Okay. So if you're doing all this traveling back and forth, we asked about your first boyfriend and kiss. Do you remember the first time you went to a party?
My parents were very much the type, like they were the parents that were like, my dad's always been really into tequila and mezcal more recently. But so he was very like, my friends could just come over and drink and we'd hang out and we had a pool and a hot tub. And so my house was kind of like, they didn't care if we smoked weed, like they were the cool parents. And so we'd hang out at my house. And I wasn't a big partier in high school. I had a friend that went to a bigger private school. And we'd go to her friend's house parties in like, these kids that like lived in Highland Park and had these insane houses and like their parents would be skiing for the weekend and they'd have all the kids from all these different private schools. Just classic, just such classic, like rich Dallas kids. But yeah.
Do you feel like you did better as a person or so far in your life? By your parents being more loose with their
this is Jeremy asking loss. For advice for his kids.
Yeah, of course. I'm a dad of teenage. My oldest is just turned 15. I've got twins who are 12. They're about to enter their teenage life. I've got a daughter who's 8 years old, and I am trying to figure it out as a parent because I don't know the answer. I feel like each kid is their own individual, and I'm. I try to let them be, cool. And like, I try to let them like have fun and I never try to embarrass them. I try to encourage them to be social, but I also, I always want to know like where that line is of like, okay, this is ridiculous. You're not allowed to do this. And trying to be very serious at that, with them is hard for me. Especially when it's like we're making movies that are just like they see our movies that we're making.
Yeah, read the scripts so you're a hypocrite if you're like.
It's a little hard, but it's. I love asking the question because it seems like you're a very well-adjusted, smart, successful person, and it seems like you're a product of your parents kind of pushing you to kind of work hard, but also do the things that you love. And allowing you the freedom to be yourself and to have fun and do the things that a teenager would normally do.
Totally. I think my parents, specifically my dad, laid down the law with things that actually mattered. Like when because I got into two different college, I got into UCLA and I got into SMU, which is in Dallas. And I wanted to go to SMU because I wanted to stay with my friend and my boyfriend and whatever. And that's when my dad laid down the law and was like, I guess if you really want to, but like, that's a horrible decision and was very vocal about it. And so he would do things like that with the things that actually mattered. And I probably would have made different decisions, like horrible decisions, if he didn't do that. But in terms of the things that didn't matter, like drinking or smoking weed or like going out, I think I had friends whose parents let them do things like that. I had friends whose parents were like my parents, and then I had friends whose parents were very controlling. And I just always felt like the kids whose parents controlled them a lot were the crazy ones. Like, they were the ones that wanted to go blackout, you know, at 16, or like try to sneak into these bars. And like, I don't know, just like, they were the ones that also then after high school kind of went a little crazier. So I definitely think like getting that out of my system to a degree in like a safe environment. Like, I got way too drunk on vacation with my parents when I was like 15 and nothing bad happened. And then from that, I learned like, okay, this is probably a limit for me. And thank God I was here with my mom and dad and not some strangers at a house party. So I definitely think that like when I have children, I will let them kind of be stupid under supervision and not give them too much shit for it, because I've seen the kids that were coddled and they're nuts. They're interesting.
Your parents sound pretty great, I have to be honest.
Yeah, they're sick.
How was sex appeal for you? Obviously, this is how we personally met.
Yeah.
That was my first movie with American High in person. It was. And I had so much fun. How was it for you? Like, how was coming to Syracuse, besides like Jake of it all, which is exciting as well?
It was still COVID, right? Like, yeah, we were still definitely pretty
mask and everything.
In the midst of COVID. Yeah, we were all masked up. It was pre-vaccine too. Yeah. So we were really, yeah. So I just remember like, it was one of those things where when I got the script, I loved the script. And like, I don't know if this happens like on the production side or like the directing side of things, but like, I feel like so often, even if like, even when you book something, you're always excited, but so rarely is it something that you really like, you know what I mean? It kind of sometimes feels like a you take what you can get kind of thing. But when I read the script, I loved it so much. And I just remember like, it was also just so deep in COVID and no one had been doing anything. And I was like, wait, this is crazy. I have a script that I'm obsessed with. And, you know, just an audition in general. And so I just remember like the whole process felt like, okay, like when's the next shoe gonna drop? Like, when am I, you know, no more callback, no more chem read, whatever. So booking it was like surreal, and then shooting, I don't know, it's just so fun. Like, the office that you guys have is insane. That building is insane. Doing everything in like actual classrooms and walking past lockers and using a high school bathroom is nuts.
I don't like, even notice it anymore. It's part. True.
Yeah, like the gym, I don't know. But no, I had such a fun time.
What was your favorite memory from set on Sex Appeal?
Everything that we love the building, but when we were shooting at the YMCA, that was bananas. Like, everything that was going on was wrong, and my favorite thing ever that I can still like I can think about today and laugh is when we were trying to shoot, it was in the dream sequence, and it's Jake and I going down the slide, and we were trying to figure out how to get it, and we had Billy holding on to Jake's ankles going down the slide like feet first on his stomach, and we were sitting at the top and he's trying to get everything set up and trying to hold the camera, and Jake's trying to like hook under his armpits with, you know, his feet or whatever, and Billy's just getting like blasted in the face with the water.
Didn't you end up doing it on an iPhone or something?
Yeah, we ended up, I think, yeah, we used an iPhone.
Mika, Jake, when he was on the podcast, told us the story that he invited you to his room at the hotel, at the Homewood Suites, to review the script. And he kind of told us that story, but we'd love to hear that from your perspective. Do you remember this?
Yeah. So again, this is like me, like I'm realizing I'm like maybe a not manipulative person, but I definitely am conniving. My dad was with me. He flew to Syracuse with me. And he was there for 3 days. And then Jake posted on his story that he, like, something, it was snowing. And I was like, oh, so he's here. And my dad was like, oh, should I stay an extra day or should I go home? And I was like, you should go home. And so I was like, oh, I just want to, like, I don't know, hang out, meet this guy. And then we met up. I remember we, like, made sure it was COVID okay. And I was like, oh, we should just meet, hang out. We were going to meet at the office. And then my fitting ran later, his or something. And so I came over just to, like, say hi. And we ended up talking not about the script, just, like, talking and getting to know each other for hours. And I was like, wait, this guy's actually really cool and sweet and great. And then the next day, he asked me to pick him up mascara at Wegmans. Is it Wegmans?
Yes. Oh, it is Wegmans.
Is that the right one? Okay, great.
Ding, ding, ding. I think we have to ring a bell every time somebody mentions. There are a few words that we have to say at any time somebody says it, and Wegmans is one of those.
Yeah. He asked me to get him mascara, and I was like, okay, this guy's also very weird and interesting. And then it was for a tape, whatever, and he came to pick it up. This is becoming a very long, convoluted story. He came to pick it up, and he was like, I got to go finish this tape really quick, but, like, we should go over the sides tonight or something. We should go over our scenes. And I was like, okay. And then he texted me later that night and was like, okay, I'm coming up. Should I bring a bottle of wine? Oh, he said, your place or mine? And I said, well, I have to stay here with my cat tonight because I brought my cat. And I was like, I can't leave. I left her alone last night for a couple hours to hang out. I feel bad leaving her again, so you should come up here. And he said, should I bring a bottle of wine? And I was like, what is that supposed to mean? I don't know. And now this is a controversy because he and some others think, like, oh, that's just normal, casual, like, we're hanging out, it's the evening, I'm bringing a bottle of wine. But I'm like, we're going over this teen sex comedy script, it's 8:30 p.m., and you just asked if you should bring over a bottle of red wine to my hotel room. You know what I mean?
I get it.
Yeah.
You should have either just bring it and not say anything and just play it casual, like, I just brought it, like, in case we want.
Oh, I just wanted to finish this.
Versus, like, setting intentions of, like, should I?
I don't know. Whatever he did, they're now together for 4 or 5 years. Yeah, so whatever it was.
It also worked because I was operating on the assumption that he was into me, and that's why he was bringing the bottle of wine. So that's why it worked. Come to find out, that was not his intention at all. He just wanted to drink his wine.
The man just wanted to drink his wine.
He just wanted some wine. I was like, I don't know how I'm supposed to. I was like, I haven't talked to people in a year and a half. It's the middle of COVID.
Did you finish the bottle?
It's our olive oil bottle now. We kept it.
Your
it's
olive oil?
In our kitchen.
Bottle?
Olive oil.
I love that.
Wow.
That's so incredible. How sweet is that?
Yeah, we have our olive oil and vinegar is the wine that we had in Syracuse and the wine that we had our first night in our apartment.
Did you guys go over the screenplay that night? Did you go over your lines? Did you rehearse?
Well, so that's what then happened is I was like, we're sitting down. Yes, we were just talking about, you know, the script and, like, what we were looking forward to, but not super in depth. And then half the bottle of wine was gone. And he was like, well, should we go over the scenes at all? And I was like, what do you mean? I was like, what do you, like, you want to read it? Do you want to, like, put it up on its feet? Like, what are you talking about? And he was like, well, I don't know. And then I don't even know. But it basically was me being like, do you mean you want to rehearse these scenes where we're hooking up? And he was like, no. And I was like, okay. And then he was like, well, do you want to make out? And I was like, okay. And so that's how that all went down.
Sounds like you both were, like, playing chicken or threatening each other. Do you want to do that? All right.
I don't know. Do you? What are you asking? What do you want? I don't know. Should we finish this wine? I don't know.
But I remember Jake telling a story. I don't remember if it was the first night or the night with the mascara, but that you ran away.
Oh, yeah. That was the first night because we were really getting along and we were like, I don't know. We were talking for literally hours. I think I went over there at like 6 p.m. or something. And then it was like 11:30, and he looked at his watch and was like, oh my God, it's almost midnight. And I took that as like, oh, it's almost midnight. So I just popped up to my feet and I was like, that's my cue. Nice to see you. Good to meet you. Bye.
And he was like, oh my God, what did I do?
Yeah. He texted me the next morning and was like, okay, not sure why you left so abruptly, but it's really nice talking to you.
Classic miscommunication.
That was definitely a me problem. All of this, I'm coming to find out, is a me problem.
I think Tristan has a little clip to pull up.
Jake said all kinds of shit on that episode that I was hearing, and I was like, shut up.
This is your time to revenge, Mika.
Yeah.
Hey, I don't know why you left so abruptly, but it was great chatting with you, and I look forward to working together. And she was like, oh, okay. I can't wait until she sees this impression of her that I'm putting out into the world.
Okay.
Ah, okay. Well, it was great chatting with you, too.
Yeah, so now maybe you see why my impressions of people are so evil and rude, because that's the environment that I'm living in.
Can you do your impression of Jake?
So I think I'm going to come over later tonight. Should I bring this bottle of Josh?
Did you say bottle of Josh, or did you say bottle of wine?
It's a bottle of Josh, and so it's very unfortunate that the Josh has become a thing, because I have a bottle of Josh in my kitchen, like, as decor.
Without Josh, there'd be no Jake.
Without Josh, there'd be no Jake. Nice, Will.
There'd be no Jake.
Let me ask you, so when Jake was here, he actually proposed to you on the podcast. And it sounded like you said yes, which was very exciting. And we offered to host the wedding for you guys. When is the wedding? We are happy
at the Homewood.
We're getting married at the Homewood Suites. Actually, your pick, honestly. We thought we'd leave that up to you.
Let's do it in the winter.
Perfect.
Yeah, I'm thinking January at the Homewoods.
I'm actually really serious. Are you guys going to get married here at the Homewood Suites? Because we are happy to throw that. We were 100% serious with offering to do that.
If that's a serious offer, I guarantee. Jake.
We are 1,000% serious that we would throw your wedding. I think the wedding should be at American Hyatt, but everyone can stay. We'll have like the after party at Homewood Suites.
It would be the first official because a lot of couples have formed at American Hyatt, but we haven't officialized one.
As long as we can film like the process and the whole thing, we would be so happy to, like, for real, and like invite your parents and like just make it awesome. We'd be so psyched to do that for you.
Do you want to get married at the Homewood Suites and they will throw our reception for us? They will throw the wedding for us and we can invite our families at the office.
So we're gonna do a wedding.
Yeah.
So they can do a bit for our wedding.
Yeah.
We're going to be an American High bit. Okay.
It's not a bit.
First American High wedding.
They want to make clear that it's not a bit.
Well, I understand that we're getting married, but it's for the bit, right?
I'd say 70-30, 60-40.
It's romantic.
It's romantic, Jeremy says.
Or romance. At least a little honeymoon.
I'll give it some
thought. Oh, we could all. Axel says maybe our honeymoon.
You guys are both awesome. We love you both, and you had this relationship form on one of our movies, and we'd love to do this for you. We think it'd be incredible.
And we have little baby onesies with an American High logo for when you're ready.
Now you're like pushing, like you're putting a lot of pressure, XL.
Maybe I'll get Jake to stop taking the pill.
Jake, can we get you back on here and get into this a little bit? We'd like to get into something here. Mika, what are you working on right now?
I am working on a new show. I'm working on a couple of episodes of a show.
Exciting.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
It may or may not also be flying me to the Northeast. Maybe, maybe not.
For a wedding?
For a wedding. It's my wedding. That's what I've been working on.
Will you invite Faith and Alex to the wedding?
Maybe their mom.
Mika, it's such a pleasure to see you. One of the reasons why I love doing this is when we're making a movie, it's obviously like super crazy and stressful, and we don't really have much time to get to know people, but it's a pleasure to get to know you. Have this hour and 26 minutes and 41 seconds so far to sit and like get to know a little bit more about you, and you're awesome, and you were so incredible in sex appeal, and you were so just awesome to work with and fun, and we'd love to work with you again and work with you and Jake, and obviously, like, you know, come do a movie with us, but also come get married. How great.
Yeah. No, we miss you guys. It's good to see you, talk to you. Yeah, hopefully we'll see you soon.
All right. Well, that is our show.
Hey, everybody. It's Nicole Byer here with some hot takes from Wayfair. A cozy corduroy sectional from Wayfair? Yeah, that's a hot take. Go on and add it to your cart and take it. A pink glam nightstand from Wayfair? Scalding hot take. Take it before I do. A mid-century modern cabinet from Wayfair that doubles as a wine bar? Do I have to say it? It's a hot take. Get it at Wayfair.com and enjoy that free shipping too.
Wayfair, every style, every home.